Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'll be honest with y'all, watching most of the coverage of what's going on in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, as that stopped a lot of sporting events, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, the 6 o'clock hour. But you know, I was looking at that, and that's what most of my attention was last night. I gotta be honest with you, I don't think I saw a game. Was kind of, last night was one of those. Remember the movie? What was the movie with Kevin Costner? That's not Major League. Paul Dorham, when he said, "We need a rain out, gentlemen." And I was glad last night we had a rain out, because my focus, my attention was not on sports last night at all. So I was kind of glad the Orioles were rained out.
So, Rob, let me ask you. I mean, this would be a week, obviously, typically you, Ed, and I would talk about things, and you guys having different backgrounds than me, you having a different background than both of us, and it's kind of interesting to sit down and have honest discussions about things, or at least, see how people feel, with what happened before with Derek Chauvin and now this. Like, I saw there was a tweet from former Seahawks receiver Doug Baldwin saying there's no way that you can confuse a gun.
There's no way you confuse a gun for a taser, Jeremy. There's no way.
And somebody
color.
Came back at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real quick, somebody came back at him and was like, "Well, what do you know? You didn't know anything." He was like, basically, his dad has been a police officer for 35 years. So, I think he can speak a little bit on the topic. And by the way, people are allowed to have their opinion, whether it's wrong or right.
Here's my thing.
Go ahead.
If she did confuse a gun for a taser, it goes back to one of the narratives that said a lot. Fear. Fear. Jeremy, you played sports before. Let's bring it to something that you and I both know. We were both young athletes at times, and we were probably afraid at times on the court, on the field. And it forced us to do things that were out of our character, out of our training, which is practice. With repetition, we became less fearful. And with experience, we became less fearful. And so the situation became second nature to us. So that fear was gone. You still got butterflies, but fear was gone. Okay. But this officer is a 26-year veteran. How do you confuse a taser and a gun? New York Times even wrote an article about it. The difference in weight, the fact that there's a safety mechanism on a Glock, which that department carries, that you can feel before you shoot. A taser does not have that. She held that gun in front of her before she shot. It wasn't like she just pulled it out of a holster and shot. She held it in front of her. Taser. At what point do you realize, it's not a taser.
Yeah.
Not even the same color. At what point? So that to me says, I'm not even saying she intentionally shot the man. But what I'm saying is, are you that afraid under those circumstances that you don't know the difference in a different side of your body that these two weapons are? That much fear? That man struck that much fear in your heart that you accidentally shot him with a gun instead of a taser. That to me is incompetence to the highest level. So that goes back to people questioning the training and the fear that police officers have of young black men. All those things go back into it. And you can sit here and ignore it and roll your eyes at me if you want. I don't care. I give zero cares right now or what you think about what I'm saying or your opinion of me. Trust me when I tell you that. I couldn't care less. The proof is in the pudding. I don't. You know what? Today, we People shouldn't have to say a word. Just play the video. Mm-hmm. How do you confuse? Go Google image a taser and find me one that looks like a Glock. Find one that's shaped like a Glock. And you held this weapon out in front of you, yelling taser, taser, taser. At what point do you realize, damn, it's not the taser. It's my gun. And on top of that, you endangered two other officers who were holding this man when you have this gun in your hand. So to me, we're talking about fear in the highest level that you killed the man accident. Now tell his parents, oops, my bad. No, you don't get my bads when you're in this. You don't get my bads. So some things you can't tell me are my bad. So this to me is anger, man. So honestly, yeah. This is, I should have been off today. Let's just say that. The day should have been a day off for me, honestly. Because this is absolutely uncalled for, unnecessary. 26-year veteran. You ain't a rookie. You're not a rookie.
So Rob, with this situation and what you guys were watching last night, and you know, take me through this process for you, because I know it starts off, you know, we had this conversation yesterday and I think you and I were on the same page where it's like, hey, I need to see all the information so I can make up my mind. Do you feel like you have enough information now to where your mind's made up? I mean, is this something where I hate saying, could it have been a mistake even if fear was involved, or is it a panic moment? Is this something because of the times we're in? I mean, is it everything? You know,
it's a little bit of everything, man, but you know, enough with the, you know, why we separate things racial. Enough with that stuff. That narrative is so old, man. I mean, this is why this frail dude scares you that much. It's three of you, one of him, and he scares you that much when you don't know the difference between a taser and a gun. I mean, come on, Jeremy. You got young black men right now in Baltimore telling you, hey, this is why we're afraid of the police. And whether it's true or not, this is why. I'm glad my son can't drive. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm glad he can't drive. He's in the car with somebody else all the time. I'm glad of it. I'm glad my daughter is 4'11" and she presents no physical threat to people. I'm happy for it. You know why? Because people are afraid. They're afraid. So when you're afraid of me, I'm afraid of you. And when that happens, we got a problem. We got a serious problem. I grew up in West Baltimore, then went to Edmonds, Urban and Bel Air. You know, I've seen it. I've had friends taken in the back of the police car when I was a teenager and beat up for no reason at all. I've had it. So don't tell me it don't exist. Now you're talking about the life of a young man that's gone because of what? Incompetence. That doesn't bring this man back. He's somebody's father. That don't bring him back. And then, we constantly want to sweep it under the carpet and say, it's nothing. It's just a coincidence. I mean, give me a break, man. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. You know what I mean? Right there, about 10 miles away from another black man dying for no reason at all, with somebody's knee on his throat. So what we have right now, less than about 10 miles from one another, are examples of hatred and fear of a community. Hatred and fear. Because when I have my knee on your neck and I'm grinding in your neck, that's hatred, man. You hate me for what? And now fear. In one community, you have both examples. And people want to run around with their heads in the sand and say nothing's going on. Fine. Keep going. But we have a serious problem. And you have two examples of it right there in a community that's next to one another. Of hatred and fear. That's a big problem.
Yeah, you know, the odd thing about all of this, too, is, you know, you got a lot of people out there saying, okay, so what do we do? What's the next step? And you know, the sad part is, man, I don't know that there's a lot of answers to change what the culture is right now. And meaning that a lot of things in our life, no matter what it is, if we want to talk about our beliefs, whether it's religious, whether it's, you know, how you were raised, how you treat people, the life that you've lived, most things in life are taught. It's learned. So I mean, the only thing that I know how to do is to teach my kids the right way and hope they teach their kids the right way, and that this can actually grow and that more people do it, that we're not running into these situations of, you know, if you want to talk about race-driven or whatever it may be. I mean, there's all types of things where people are going to hate people for no good reason. Again, mm-hmm. religion, race, whatever you want to look at.
Separation. Anything is different.
It's the sad part, and, you know, like – I don't know. It just makes you wonder how you get here, and I guess I know the easy answer to that, but at some point, and I've talked about this, you know, I was doing nights, I talked about breaking the cycle, meaning that just because all the things you're taught, how you're raised, doesn't mean everything was right. You could take the things that your parents did wrong and change it. It's not an easy thing to do, and in hope that your kids take everything that you do and change it, if it's wrong, you know?
If I acted the way I was taught, you and I wouldn't be friends.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have been in one another's homes. You know what I mean? Our kids wouldn't have played in the basement at WNSD together. You know what I mean? It would have been
the same thing on my end, too, man.
Yeah. And I know. Oh, wow, that's just how I grew up. I hate that excuse. You know what I mean? That's how I grew up, too. But it's not how I am. Yes, I grew up that way. I grew up not I hang with you, trust you. We go to work together. That's it. That's it. But we can never be friends. That's how I grew up. So stop giving me that excuse of how this is just how I grew up. You know, well, if that's how you grew up, then grow up. Now you need to grow up. 410-583-1057. Go ahead.
Real quick, because I know we got to get out. But I had that talk with my family and saying the same thing. Like, you know, I don't want the excuse that's how I was raised because I changed everything. And you know what's funny about me, Rob, and I've said this before, I'm the black sheep of my family, and – you know, my family were all baseball players and hunters, and they loved a little bit of redneck in them. I mean, hell, I've told stories about West Virginia, all that other nonsense. But the fact that I fell in love with basketball, and it introduced me to, you know, different walks of life, different people. And I mean all kinds of walks of life. Like, I wanted to – because I wanted the best competition possible, I would go in the worst neighborhoods to play ball because I wanted to get better. And, you know, I learned so much about different people that it was my own views that really changed my mind – on how I saw the world as opposed to what I was taught. And I'm not saying that my parents did anything wrong or anything like that over the years. It was nothing like that. But I'm just saying, like, when you start to meet your grandparents and your great-grandparents and other side of your family and you hear them talk and you're like, man, I ain't around. This isn't my family. You know, so you walk away from it and you create your own family. Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, with a lot of situations and what I did in my life. Yeah,
my whole family is the black sheeps of my family. You know what? I'm cool with that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.